Chapter 17. The All as Unity. Everyone has his being in the All as Unity. Alas, who shall reach this unity while he rules himself and his world as an individual thinker? To such thinkers there must come a new orientation of themselves altogether. They must move into that unity where they can see God, themselves, and the All to be one. One is out of unison when he thinks in terms of self-correction, self-discipline, self-control, leadership, mastermind, and master metaphysician. To speak in such fashion betrays ignorance of the All, which is unity, and of the fact that when we identify ourselves with the world of the real, we no longer persist as independent thinkers at all. If only one would see this, instead of ignoring that upon which his very existence depends. The self does not act as a master. Nothing is subject to it. Demonstration through individualism of infinite power may seem to be advanced metaphysics to some, but it holds no solution whatever to the problem of human existence in which sickness and discords are inherent. The only salvation for the individual thinker in his state of human existence is the reorientation of himself, surrendering individualism for the All as unity. He is infinite power, completeness, perfection, without the need of anything. Intrigued by such alluring terms as self-control, self-achievement, self-discipline, one has no reason for rejoicing whatever. Only when he has turned to the One, God, and has been filled with the One, is he in possession of boundless radiance and perfection, which is the All as unity. Absorbed in demonstration, through the individual possession of omnipotence and authority, one has solved nothing. He has entered more deeply into sleep and turned farther away from the One All. The way is to turn back to the One alone, the One which is all in unity. Do not accept for another moment the belief that one must perfect his thoughts and emotions in order to have conscious knowledge of power and might. Not so at all. The dream self is neither to be purified or to be evangelized. It is to come to an end. Functioning as the all pure, the only real of oneself from eternity, one is immediately released from the unreal. The heart's deep love and pure devotion for the real alone brings spontaneous humility and meekness, effacing without struggle or effort any unhappy or inharmonious state of body or mind. In infinite life, there is no such thing as coexistence anywhere. Everything that is the One itself, since there is nothing outside of it. In our moments of illumination, we know ourselves to be that which is One and that which is all, unchanging unity. Here we experience things as they are, realizing reality through spiritual illumination. We do not leave one world for another, although it seems so. Actually, there is but one world, the real and the eternal. Here all things exist in their radiant perfect being, yet only in spiritual consciousness do we see them as they are. We are free in that alone. Unity is not only where all are in the One, but where all are the One. How can one hope to experience the real unless, first of all, he accepts himself to be the real? Realization is not of the dream self, but of the One awake. This realization alone is peace and freedom, freedom from separateness, freedom from delusion, freedom from problem and desire. Abandon altogether the belief of duality and otherness. Identify yourself as life, truth, and being, as did the Master. Enter into the life as life itself, and into the One as the One alone. Stepping into the rhythm of the All, ceasing all effort to destroy, to conquer, or to create of ourselves. Spontaneously we have by being, we know, we feel, and experience by being only. The essence of Plotinus, a Greek philosopher born in Egypt 204 AD, contains clear, pertinent essentials for real understanding and knowledge of the All as unity as follows. Quote, "The All Transcendent is wholly and truly one. All life belongs to it, life brilliant and perfect. We may know we have had the vision when the soul has suddenly taken light. This light is from the Supreme and is the Supreme. This is the true end before the soul, to take that light, to see the Supreme by the Supreme, and not by any other light by which it sees, for that by which the illumination comes is that which is to be seen, just as we do not see the sun by light other than its own." End quote. But how is this to be accomplished? Let all else go. One wishing to contemplate what transcends the intellectual attains by putting away all that is of the intellect. We must fit ourselves for the vision and then wait tranquilly for it, as the eye waits on the rising of the sun, which in its own time appears above the horizon and gives itself to our sight. God is present through all, not something of God here and something else there, nor all of God gathered at some one spot. There is an instantaneous presence everywhere, nothing containing, nothing left void, everything fully held by Him. It does not change and will not fail, and in it all that is unfailing finds duration. When we look outside of that on which we depend, we ignore our unity. When we find no stop at which to declare a limit to our being, we cease to rule ourselves out from the total of reality. We reach to the All as a unity, abiding there where the All has its being. Unity remains then within itself. It is entire for all, and it can be the good to all. Similarly, wisdom is entire to all. It is one thing, not distributed parcel-wise, not fixed to place. So of the one we shall not take sections, nor you some separate entire, and I another. How is this power present in the universe? As a one life, it is omnipresent, not subject to quantity, but such that though you divide it mentally forever, you still have the same power, infinite to the core. How do you experience it? In that you have entered into the all, no longer content with the part, you cease to think of yourself as under limit. You become the All. By the lessening of the alien in you, you increase. Cast it aside, and there is the All within you. Engaged in the alien, you will not find the All. Not that it has to come to be present with you. It is you that have turned from it. And turn though you may, you have not severed yourself. It is not far off. Still there before it, you have faced to its contrary. In that which is holy, what it is, self-existent reality without distinction between the total thing and its essence, being is a unit. Even self-mastery is absent here. Not that anything else is master over it, but where we speak of self-mastery, there is a certain duality. The Supreme is everywhere, and yet nowhere. He is at once that everywhere and everywise. He is not in the everywhere, but is the everywhere. Seeking him, seeking nothing of him outside. We are in search of unity. From many, we must become one. It must be our care to bring over nothing whatever from sense. With mind pure, we are to see the all pure. The mind takes account of things, thus plunging into multiplicity it departs from unity. To those desiring, the illumined have ever stated, thou art thyself the object of thy search. Attuned to the absolute, one moves in another realm altogether from that of individual consciousness and its content of individual thinking. He is free of both mental treatment and mental demonstration. To live constantly in illumined understanding, we are required to leave entirely the old way of striving to attain. Alas, here is where many pause, considering. It is said that as we rise joyously, rapturously, then what has seemed to hold us falls into the bottomless pit. Sometimes even greater than our personal needs are those situations which concern our loved ones or close friends. The way of the self takes care of these situations also. Our inspirational light is omnipotent in all ways. It shows us just what to do, how and again sees all things in another, so that all things are everywhere and all is all. Each thing likewise is everything, and the splendor there is infinite. For everything there is great, since even that which is small is great. Motion likewise there is pure, for the motion is not confounded by a mover different from it. Permanency also suffers no change of its nature, because it is not mingled with the unstable. And the beautiful there is beautiful, because it does not subsist in beauty as in a subject. Each thing, too, is there established, not as in a foreign land, but the seat of each thing is that which each thing is. The knowledge which is possible, there is insatiable. The life there is wisdom, a wisdom not obtained by a reasoning process. It is the first wisdom, and is not derived from another. There each part always proceeds from the whole, and is at the same time each part and the whole. For it appears indeed as a part, but by him whose sight is acute, it will be seen as a whole. He who has seen knows what I say, that the soul takes on another life as it approaches God. Thus restored, it feels that the dispenser of true life is there, and that we must put aside all else and rest in this alone. Thus we have all the vision that may be of him and of ourselves, but it is of a self wrought to splendor. Become that very light, pure, buoyant, unburdened, raised to godhood, rather identical with God, all aflame, then, but flickering out of it, should take up again the discarded burden.